This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, a few other snippets that have come out from hostage stories telling us about their time in captivity. Avinatan Or was kidnapped from Nova along with his girlfriend Noar Gamani. And we recall the story of Noar Gamani's rescue by IDF troops and how she managed to be returned home just before her mother passed away, which is highly emotional. And of course, now Noar's return has been completed with her boyfriend's return. Avinatan returned back with the 20 hostages last week. And he's been telling us a little bit about his time in captivity. Now, he's one of those who was kept on his own for 2 years. He didn't see any other hostages during that time. He was kept pretty much underground in tunnels for 2 years. And he tried to escape at one point. And that attempted escape, which obviously wasn't successful, cost him dearly, because he was kept shackled to a cage for a year as a result of that attempted escape, the fact that he was recaptured and brought back. So his experience was extremely severe, starved and tortured and kept shackled to this cage for a year, which is just inconceivable to think about. Other stories have come out. Although all of the stories have a certain level of torture and beatings and starvation involved, some of them have a certain human element to them. We had the story about Matan Angres yesterday, who was given his tefillin or a pair of tefillin and a Sidura prayer book and a Chumasha Bible, and he was allowed to use those. Omri Minran was saying that he would cook for his captors, and they really enjoyed his food. And so there was a certain human element to that, and played cards with them a lot. So he became quite a good card player during the time that he was in Gaza. Segev Kalfon said that they didn't believe him when he said his name was Segev, and they beat him severely every time he said that name because they didn't believe him. In the end, they wound up calling him Steve. And he said the moment that he kind of accepted that he became Steve to them was the moment that he understood that he was a prisoner. Of the stories.
Of course, because they changed. They completely changed his identity. He just was.
Right.
He was what they called him.
Right. And he was happy to be whatever they called him in order to avoid the beatings that came with using the name Segev.
Remarkable.
So some quite severe stories and a lot more to come out. And, you know, if listeners are interested, I'll try to talk a little bit about some of the stories because they are just fascinating. And of course, books will be written, I'm sure, in the future about some of these experiences. Each of the hostages seems to have experienced something slightly different. And the relationship between them is very, very interesting. Some of them were moved around. Omri Miran said he was kept in 23 different places during the 2 years that he was in Gaza. Some said that the IDF bombing around where they were kept was so severe that the walls of the tunnel around them collapsed. And they thought that they were going to die as a result of the IDF bombing. lots of interesting stories about what they did know and what they didn't know about what was going on in the world around them, particularly in Israel.
I'm fascinated by that, because I do wonder what, you know, they seem to have caught up very quickly as to what was really going on outside, but I wonder how much they knew during that time.
Well, we can talk a little bit about that, and maybe I'll keep that for tomorrow, about what they did and didn't know, because different hostages have said different things. Some of them knew quite a lot, some of them were lied to, some of them knew very little. So that's an interesting debate. We'll keep that for tomorrow.
U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance is due to arrive in Israel this morning. What's on the agenda?
Yeah, so this is really interesting, because last week, of course, we had the visit of President Trump. Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner were also in Israel, along with the military head of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff and many other U.S. Representatives. We're all in Israel last week at the Knesset session and for the release of the hostages. And then this week, we have the return yesterday to Israel of Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. And today, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance will be arriving in the next few hours and will be both, I understand, in Jerusalem and in Tel Aviv during the course of today. So why the quick return of such senior individuals from the U.S. administration? That's really the question that's being asked right now. And some of the speculation is that with the continuous violations of the ceasefire agreement by Hamas, doing various things, people crossing the yellow line quite freely, the IDF are reported to have killed quite a number of Gazans as a result of them crossing the yellow line. The yellow line, just to remind listeners, is the new ceasefire line that has been drawn, where the IDF have withdrawn to beyond the yellow line. So this yellow line is actually now physically being demarcated in Gaza. I saw a picture showing IDF forces laying down yellow colored concrete blocks that they actually are putting on the ground in Gaza to mark the boundary line, the yellow line that has now been drawn as a result of the ceasefire. And we understand that the Gazans freely try to cross the yellow line. There are those who have come out, like, for example, the experience that we had in Rafah yesterday, the day before yesterday, when people came out of tunnels and started to attack IDF forces. So that's another violation, the violation of not having returned all of the dead bodies of hostages in Gaza, which were all supposed to have been returned on day one of this ceasefire. That is also a violation. The way in which Hamas is behaving in Gaza, killing freely those who oppose Hamas rule, those who are judged on the street to have cooperated somehow with Israel. There's a free kind of free for all going on with Hamas, killing many people and taking control, even though the idea was that Hamas would not have control in Gaza, that Hamas would not be armed in Gaza, and yet they are very well armed and much, very much in control of the areas that the IDF have withdrawn from. So there are numerous violations to the Trump peace plan at this very, very early stage. And I think that the U.S. administration are a little nervous that Israel may say, we've had enough of these violations and we're going back to war in order to finish the job and to finally do away with Hamas. So I think that J.D. Vance's mission alongside Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner is to try somehow to convince Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Israeli government to stick with this for now, to allow whatever's happening now to continue. And I think in particular for Israel, the real incentive is the return of those dead bodies. We have now received back 13 bodies. There are still 15 dead Israelis being kept a hostage in Gaza, and we would like to see the return of all of those bodies. So I think that that is probably the main incentive, the main lever that's being used right now to convince the Israeli government not to return back to war. And of course, the prospect of not having to lose soldiers' lives, because every time we say, okay, all bets are off, we're going back to war, we sign a death decree for certain soldiers whose lives will be lost because war is dangerous and soldiers' lives get lost during the course of war, even when you do it in the safest possible way and the most secure possible way. There are inevitably going to be incidents where soldiers will be killed and injured. And every time we say we've had enough of this and we're going back to battle, that endangers soldiers' lives. And of course, that's a great incentive for us to say we're done with the war and we'd like to go back to some sort of a peace arrangement. So I think that that's the really the main objective of the U.S. delegation in Israel this week. Supposedly, they're also going to be talking about the next stage of the deal. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, that has not been signed up to. So what we know that's been signed up to at the moment is simply what's happening right now. Release of hostages, release of bodies, humanitarian aid, withdrawal of IDF troops to beyond the yellow line, and cessation of hostilities. That was the bit that was signed up. There is a lot more that is there, that is intended, that has been intended, that has been verbally communicated, but hasn't yet been signed up to. The Palestinian side, of course, the Hamas side, are at pains to point this out, that they haven't agreed to disarm, that they haven't agreed, signed up to the fact that they won't be part of the future administration in Gaza. So there's a lot still that needs to be done and to be agreed to. And just as an aside, listeners may be aware of the release of the 60 Minutes interview with Jared Kushner and with Steve Witkoff. Mm. If you haven't seen that, it takes a little bit of time. You need about an hour or so to watch it. If you haven't seen it, I think it's very well worth watching. It gives a little bit of insight into what's been going on behind the scenes, particularly how annoyed the U.S. government was when Israel attacked Doha, tried to kill the Hamas leaders in Doha. The U.S. administration describes itself as having felt betrayed by that action on the part of the Israeli government. So some quite interesting things that are worth seeing. And Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff really, really express themselves extremely accurately and extremely well. And I think it's worth watching.
Mm. The body of a hostage was returned home for burial last night. So now, what's the tally? Is it 15 that still remain in Gaza?
So we've received 13 out of the 28 bodies that were identified as having still been kept in Gaza. And so, yes, you're correct to say that that means 15 are still missing and still we still await their return. The body that we received back late last night was that of Tal Chaimi. He not only was a major general in the reserves, in the IDF reserves, but he was killed while defending his kibbutz. He was a member of kibbutz Nir Yitzchak, and he was the head of the response unit, the security response unit on the kibbutz. And he was killed on that day of October the 7th while defending his kibbutz, and his body was taken to Gaza. Tal was 41 years old when he was killed. His death was only confirmed in December of last year, and he leaves behind a wife and four children, one of whom was born earlier this year after the child's father was killed. And so that's an extremely sad story that we have four children, one of whom who never had the chance to meet their father, but he was finally brought back to Israel late last night, just before 11 o'clock last night. The coffin arrived at the Forensic Medicine Center in Tel Aviv for identification. Mm. And I will expect that there will probably be a funeral later today, probably on the kibbutz, to bury Tal Chaimi. So, of course, our condolences to his family. We are, however, delighted that he has been brought home for the burial that he deserves, rather than for his body to continue to be kept in Gaza. And of course, you know, we probably have incentive to still allow the ceasefire to continue all the while that we receive these bodies, even though it is a violation of the first stage of the agreement that the bodies haven't been returned quicker. But at least they are coming home. slowly but surely, and we hope that that will at least continue until the last one is brought home for burial.
Absolutely, and that is where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.